Good evening, weary travelers, hitchhikers. You're on the Earthship. I'll be your pilot tonight, Roy. We have our engineer, Sean, in the house. And we have Leif online with us. Leif, tell us who you are, who you're with, and a little bit about your band and your story.
Hey, I am Leif Winterode. I'm from Walking Corpse Syndrome from Missoula, Montana. I'm the singer, and I just scream loud into a microphone and try to get everybody pumped up at the shows. That's my art and talent. It's kind of not as good as the other guys that actually play instruments.
And you screwed up this time and said Missoula correctly. This is take number two, folks. We practiced a little bit before the show tonight, and we couldn't get Missoula and Billings sorted out. It was Missoula and...
Missoula. Missoulings. Awesome.
Missoulings. Yeah, Missoulings. So, you're getting ready to go on tour, right?
Yes. Yes, we are going to head up into everywhere. We're hitting all over the Northwest. We're going to be... We just booked a show in Seattle, but we're also going to hit Spokane. We're going to be in Billings on November 9th with Decapitated. I'm really excited about that show. Playing that show with Cancerous, too.
Yeah. It's gonna be
so, yeah.
Yep. And going to be there for that one, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's at the Babcock, so...
I might have to sneak in with you guys as part of the band or something to get in, but...
Yeah, there you go. You could be our roadie guy.
Yeah, something like that. And media publications, yeah, something. We'll come up with something. Roadie, I don't mind packing gear. I've packed a lot of gear.
So. Roadie, that'll work. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I don't mind being a roadie. So, speaking of roadies and shows and everything like that, you guys are getting ready to go on this tour, and we all know it's not as glamorous as people think. You don't have the big 40-foot bus with a bar and hot tub and groupies and all that kind of stuff traveling all the way. You're probably going to be crapped into a van or being in from Montana, a suburban, something like that, with a trailer behind it and sleeping and eating while you're on the road and rest stops for pee breaks if you're lucky and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
How'd you get the whole tour set up? How'd it come about that you're going on tour? You're going to be on tour for quite a while, 2 or 3 months, it sounds like.
It's not technically, it's 2 or 3 months, but it's all weekend shots. We can't afford to just drop our jobs and like just go for 2 or 3 months. I mean, that's the goal eventually, but it's just not quite there yet. You don't make money, you know, really on the road. Like that's why that's what we want to do, but you just don't do it for a long time. You know, we're not, if we were nationally known and we, you know, had sponsors and people and everyone behind us, but we don't have that, you know, and a lot of bands don't. And that's where, when people come out and support their local scene, that gives us enough money to get gas to go to the next place. And that's about all we get out of it, you know? And so it's all just strictly for the love of the music. And it's all it is, you know? We just want to put our art out there and have our passion play to everyone's passion, you know? It's just fun.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite sayings around here when people ask about the music industry and stuff is, yeah, that's where you take $5,000 worth of gear, you stuff it in a $500 vehicle and drive 100 miles to make 50 bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully you like ramen noodles and peanut butter a lot.
Yeah, that is one thing about the road. I mean, you just don't eat healthy. I pack around some multivitamins just because, like, you know, it's like, what do I choose between the 38-cent burrito or the ramen packet? And I can't cook it. Well, you know.
Yep, just, exactly.
Just kind of live in out of gas stations. It gets really old really fast, but it's awesome when you play a show, you know.
So you guys are in the Rocky Mountain region, Missoula, Montana, pretty progressive community without a doubt.
Definitely.
You know, to say the least. There is a unique sound that comes out of the Rocky Mountain region, and I don't care if you're down in Colorado or if you're all the way up into Canada with the music out of this region, there is a very unique sound, and it's kind of tied back to the land and things like that and the experiences that go on around here. How would you describe what is it about you guys? Tell us a little bit about your sound.
Our sound is kind of weird because we all come from a different kind of influences, I guess. Like, would be the right word. I'm really into technical death metal. I love like Beneath a Massacre and like Rings of Saturn and stuff like that. Bands that like no one's ever heard, and like they're crazy time switches and things, and you can't understand a word they say. And you know, some of the other guys, like Matt, was really into like the industrial metal kind of stuff. I'm drawing a blank on any band names right now, but you know, so he brings like that side of it, and I bring my side of it, and then like, you know, Sean loves the Lamb of God more than anybody in the world, and you know, and it all kind of comes together, and it makes this sound that, you know, and we all push what we want, but we all compromise too, and it comes up with this thing that becomes Walking Corpse Syndrome, and it's just like, there it is. It doesn't really sound like anything else, and it doesn't really sound like something. It's just its own thing, you know. It's like there's no name for it. It's just kind of cool.
So we were chatting a little bit before the show and talking about songs and getting playlists together, what order we're going to do it in and everything. And you know, you mentioned one, Captive, and said that was kind of the fan favorite. I'd like to break out into that now and just listen to that. And then when we come back, if you can, just let us know why you think that's the fan favorite. You know, we'll listen to it and see what we think. See if we can pick this apart.
Right.
Why do people like it so much? I think that's a good question we can come back with. So
yeah,
here
let's
we
check
go
it out.
Captive. It, but let's hear what you think. what are the fans told you about this, or what have you heard?
I've heard a lot of things. Like, they really, because that's one of the, we used to have a violin in the band. Bill used to play the violin, and you can hear that in the background. It kind of sounds, it's pretty synthesized, so it kind of sounds like another guitar a little bit, but it's a violin. And when people see it live, they saw that, and they're like, whoa, you know. And I know that was like a really big thing to begin with, but like, we haven't had the violin in what, over a year, like a year, year and a half now, something like that. It's been a while. Maybe not that long, but anyway. And I've heard a lot of people just say that, like, they just like that beat, that just that, you know, like, that's just really, it just really drives. It's kind of almost like a slow dance beat of sort of kind of thing, you know. And they say that, and the chorus is kind of catchy. I've heard a lot of different things about it, and people just really like it. It's to the point. It's driven. It's brutal. It's just, everyone just really seems to enjoy that kind of style, where it just kind of pounds into your head, you know. And not very complicated. It's not really uncomplicated. It's just there, and it's just boom, you know. It's awesome. Yeah, that's what I've heard from a lot of people.
When I first started listening to it, I think the beat was what I keyed in on right away. And yeah, I'm sitting here in the studio, and I'm looking, I play percussions, and my drums are sitting across the room, and I'm like, oh man, I could go over and just lay down a total rhythm behind this on those, and just flow with the whole thing, just kind of roll along. And that was what was really nice. I could just roll right along with the whole thing. Sean is definitely getting into it over there, though.
Oh yeah. I love these guys. They're one of my favorites on the station right now.
Well, thank you. And the what I like about that song too, like, me personally, is like that end part where it's just like me and the violin going, you know, forever in that moment, you know, like. And the song, it can mean just about anything to anybody. Like, I know what it personally means to me, but I try to leave it just vague enough where it can mean, like, everyone can take something like, well, this pertains to my life in this way, you know? Like, so it kind of gives everybody, like, a direction or a feeling in it, like it helped them out, you know? And that's what I really love about that song, too, is everyone takes something else from it a little bit.
I think that's something that's really important in music, too, when, I mean, literally, you're trying to connect with your fan base as well as give them your art, put your message out there, things like that. But being able to make that connection, and if you leave it, like you say, just vague enough there to where people can connect with it and give it meaning. You don't necessarily have to give them meaning. They can give it the meaning themselves. I think that's a really great talent. Really great talent.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I've tried to do a lot of. Like, I don't want to be like, no, this song is only about this. I can only mean this to you. I try to figure out, like, what it means to me. And, you know, and if I can portray that to enough people to take their own out of it, that means that the message helps people more than they just go, like, oh, this song is about big booty hoes or something, you know, like, or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, there's definitely a time and a place for creating a song that has a message. When you just want to say something to people, it's got to be a message, though, that everybody can key in on, you know, something that everybody's passionate about. And there's not too many of those types of messages left.
Right, exactly.
I think they've been hashed out by every genre of music there is, which isn't a good thing or a bad thing. They've just all been done. It's a matter of being able to do it in a new and unique way that connects with people and connects with your fan base.
Yeah.
That's the challenge to it, is connecting. So tell me what you've got for albums out now, and where can people find those? Where can they get your music?
Alive in Desolation is the only album we have out right now. We had two before I joined the band, because I joined in 2012. The old singer he left or something happened. I don't know what happened to him, but they had two albums there, but they kind of ran out of copies, I guess, and I don't know if they sell them online or anymore or not. I don't know. I'm not really sure where to get those at, but I know you can get Alive in Desolation, and our new one, when it comes out in hopefully like December-ish, March-ish, somewhere in there. That's what we're aiming for, but I know you can get those on iTunes, and you can go through our merch at shows. You can come and get us. We have copies of it still, but they are going fast. So everyone, if you do are going to get a hard copy, you got to get at us. Also, you can go to the Walking Corpse Syndrome like Facebook page, and you'll see a link to our online store, and we'll mail it out to you. And I think Amazon, Bandcamp, we still do that. So it's all out there. You just got to pretty much type in Alive in Desolation. I think you can find it somewhere.
And if you're out there pirating this stuff and downloading MP3s and things like that, be sure to share it and tell them who it is that is playing and whatnot. At least promote for the band if you're going to steal their music.
Yes, please.
That's much fun.
Yeah. That is one thing we would like, if you would please.
Yes. Promote them a little bit.
It's one of those things where you just accept it. It's going to happen. People are like, how do you keep people from pirating? It's like, you don't. You just account for it. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, you figure it into the whole thing. And I guess there's an upside. Call it flattery or something. If they're out there pirating your music and things like that, they must really want it. They must really like it. And somebody's got to be buying it and getting the original copies out there for them to be able to pirate it. So.
Right, exactly.
Somewhere along the line, you hope it all comes back. But right. Yeah, so if you're listening out there, we're not condoning you for being a pirate. Go buy right. their music, you little shit, and support your local artist.
Please, we need your help.
They're tired of ramen noodles, and they need gas money.
Exactly. We'll take either thing.
Yeah, there you go. Become their biggest fan, support them. They might even get you into a show or two.
Exactly. And the real cool thing, even if you're not pirating, we just want to check us out on Spotify or YouTube or whatever, like that's still we still get paid for that. So like the more you share and listen on Pandora, like Spotify, like we still get paid for that. It's not near as much, but you know, like if you're gonna pirate, do it that way.
You know, and that's a nice thing that you don't really, if you want to listen to a band anymore, you don't have to pirate it. You can go to, you know, SoundCloud, their Reverb Nation page. I mean, there's a number of places you can go and listen to their music. A lot of bands have it up for listening online. You know, even on Reverb now, you can actually do a playlist and have a whole bunch of bands go to your Reverb Nation page and click play and create your playlist and listen to whatever you want. So,
right, yeah.
You know, there really isn't much reason to download and pirate that stuff these days when so much of it's available now to be listened to. You know, people can just do a few clicks and listen to it. So, yeah. Do you have anything else in the works? Any videos in the works that you're getting ready to do, or?
Not really right now. We're thinking about maybe doing something, but right now it's just mostly we're trying to do the pre-production for the upcoming album. And I don't know if you guys know about pre-production, but we record the album ourselves before we go and record the album, like professionally.
Yep.
Just because you can't afford to mess up. You can't afford to screw around in the studio. Like it's just like, it's like, you know, $10 a friggin' minute or something stupid in there. And it adds up in a hurry. So
if you don't have your act together, you can easily spend 10 grand making an album.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, even if you do have your act together, you'll still spend 10 grand. Like you just try to make it as little as possible. And so, yeah, recording it ourselves, trying to figure it all out, you know, and it comes down to the craziest things. It's like, okay, in this verse, I can't take a breath here because it messes with that beat there. So I have to rewrite it or use a different word. So it's crazy. Things you do.
You end up getting in, you know, on the producer side of it, they'll start getting into things like how many syllables do you have? You know, for each lyric to match up with the timing and the beats per measure. And
exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, both not only just how it sounds and how people hear it, but mathematically. And I don't think people realize that.
You know, and they don't. Well, there's still that rock and roll rock star persona or whatever you call it thing out there where people think like, oh, they just go in the studio, they get hammered, and they spend 5 days on one song. It's like, no, it's not the way it is. You're in there as quick as possible because it's costing you money. You're not on a label. It's just, you know, it's tough.
Your name's not Jim Morrison.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't go in there hammered for 5 days working on the same song.
Yeah, no. You get like a day per song if you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you can keep it down to 3 days for your recording time, you're doing really good. Really good.
Yeah.
And you want, the more you have it together before you get there, the better. You know, working with recording and owning a record label, what we always did was had people, you know, where they literally could just play their part by themselves if they needed to, and get to that point and then bring the whole band together. When they get to where they could do that with just a scratch track or something like that that they're listening to, then they were ready to record, because then they could go in and just go boom and everybody had it down and walk in. I've seen people do it in one shot, you know, go in and do it one take, boom, done. And that's the way you want to be.
That is definitely how you want to do it. And it's, I mean, this was awesome. Like, I don't know what it is about drummers, but every drummer I've ever recorded with seems like they can do that. I don't know why, but like, you know, the guitars will mess up, I'll mess up, the bass will mess up, but man, those drummers just on point, done. I'm just like, that's impressive. Like, yeah. It took them 15 minutes. Like, that's it.
And they're on break watching you sweat your ass off.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you know where you're going to go record at? Or who's going to engineer and produce the album?
Yeah, we're probably going to go back to Amplified Wax. That's what the plan is. That's who recorded our last album and just did such a stellar job. He's out of Spokane there. His name is Jimmy Hill. And just absolutely just the most professional guy I've ever seen, like, and just the most crazy equipment and knows so many things. I went in there, I was so impressed. I was like he's like, he put up these two microphones and he was all right, so listen to this.
Okay, so that was The Individualist. Tell us a little bit about that, Leif.
Individualist is a song that I wrote right as I joined the band, and it was all about like people just like trying to like fit into places they don't really fit, and you know, and it's like they're like, dude, just be yourself, just be cool, be how you are, just, you know, and the main chorus is fall into line, you were born to follow, never to lead, you were meant to be dominated. It's kind of like a, you know, a stab against that. It's like just quit being anyone except for you, because you don't want to fall in line, you don't want to be dominated, so just be you, man, have a good time. That's what I wrote out about. It's kind of a, you know, cliche kind of song or whatever, like every metal band sings about that, but but I just love that song, and it's just great, and everyone has a good time to it, and it's just hits hard and it's fun. And
yeah, it's be different like all the other different people.
Exactly. That's what I keep hearing all these people talk about. Like, oh, you're just a conformist asshole. It's like, shut up. Yeah. To hear that one more time.
So when does non-conformation become the norm?
Yeah, I don't know.
A non-conformist becomes normal.
Well, then you're a conformist, and then there you are. Like, oof, you're so conformist, you're a non-conformist. Like, there's no winning. Everyone's got an uphill battle. You got it. They got to have it. I swear, it's weird.
Yeah. It's a vicious circle. It goes around and around and around.
It does.
Music kind of goes around and around and around too. I listen to music and what's popular and how it changes. The most comical one that I think about is, I'm going to pick on country music here for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
do
yeah.
It.
Can I pick on country music?
Do it. Pick
country
on
music that in the 90s turned into 70s southern rock and rock music. And, you know, that was in the 80s. Then the 90s country music turned into 80s hair music.
Yeah.
And now
yes.
Country music is like late 90s, early millennia hip hop.
But yeah, it is. It's funny. You listen to old school country and it's country. It had its own sound. And yeah, just like you said, now you're just like, okay, this is like, if I go back two decades, this is, you know, that genre is now this genre. And it's, yeah. It's ridiculous.
And I listen to other things, you know, like metal, for one. You know, in the 70s, what we considered metal or heavy metal, you know, it was things like Black Sabbath and Ronnie James Dio, stuff like that. That was considered heavy metal music. Now, it hasn't recycled. It's totally progressed and continues to progress and change and become something. I mean, it mutates all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't come back full circle to the beginning. You'll catch pieces of that in there, some different metal bands that, you know, are more, they might be more industrial. They might lean a little bit more towards, you know, those roots back in the 70s of some of their songs, things like that. But it still keeps moving forward. It keeps growing. That's what's cool about it.
It does. That's what I like about metal, is it pushes itself. Like, I mean, I hate to say those stupid hipster guys that like, oh, it's not tech death post punk hardcore blah, whatever, you know, like, but they do have a point. Like, they keep pushing the genres to new things, and that's really cool. You don't really see that with a lot of other genres that I've seen anyway. I mean, maybe I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to other genres either, but like, you know, it's just they keep pushing it. It's like, hold on, I can play 738 beats a minute. Yeah, well, I can play 739, you know, and it's really cool that way. I really like it about metal.
Well, that's the nice thing, is the evolution of it. I mean, it's one of the few things in metal that I see an art form that constantly evolves. You know, other genres of music, genres of art, there's a certain style that comes about, and that style is replicated. And you can walk up to it and you can look at it and say, oh, this is a certain style. You know, this is Renaissance style, this is whatever. I mean, all the different styles of it. And you can kind of do the same thing with music as far as genres. You know, I mean, they've got it all broken down into genres. Metal, it's hard to put it. I mean, you know, when you hear metal, it's metal.
Yeah.
And you think of metal, and how many different genres of metal are there?
Oh, you know, God.
And they all sound different. Some
they
have
do.
Growling, some don't have growling. Some will have industrial aspects and bring in things like violins or you know, the one band that I stay in touch with over in Russia, they use a full string orchestra.
I've heard that. I mean, it's more of a black metal guys, but you've heard of Dimmu Borgir or... But yeah, I watch their video sometime on YouTube. Like, they have a 60-piece choir and like a 30-piece like orchestra at their live shows, and I'm just thinking, wow, sound man nightmare. But it's just crazy. Like, and it's metal. It's heavy. It's heavy as hell, and it's just so good.
You know, and I don't even know if it classifies as metal or not. But the first time I kind of got introduced to that was listening to Apocalyptica.
Oh right, yeah.
Guys on cellos.
Right.
And it just blew me away. Blew me away. I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that goes on there with it. And, you know, one of the coolest things I've heard is I got a metal band from down Wyoming, Minerva, one time to sit down and do an acoustic session.
Right.
And that's when I really started to appreciate metal. I listen to metal played acoustically and how technical it is. It's like you listen to Mozart or something.
It is. It really is. I mean, and that's what I've been trying to tell the people. They're like, oh, you can't understand what you're saying, all this stuff. It's like, I know, but I mean, if you think about it, like, what is that guitar saying? And you know, is that saying anything to you? And they're like, no. Like, well, then think of my lyrics. Like, think of my voice like that. It's just like, it's accenting. It's helping the music out. Think of it like a symphony almost, you know? Like, and people don't understand that. They're like, they sometimes don't wrap their head around that. It's very hard to do. Like, you can't just pick up a microphone usually and just, you know, and do it. And, but, you know, it's hard to convince some people that sometimes, but metal is an art form and people don't want to listen to it sometimes. I don't know why.
I think it'd be really cool sometime to hear metal done, you know, by all acoustic instruments with an opera singer.
You know?
Because the structure of the lyrics is the same.
There are, well, maybe not all acoustic, but there are bands with opera singers. Therion is one.
Nightwish,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Big popular band.
Yeah, they I just watched them the other night, and they got rid of their singer, a different singer. It's not near as opery, but yeah, like opera is a great example. Like, what are they saying in opera? Can anyone decipher that? I sure as hell can't.
No, especially not when it's in Latin or something like that. But even when it's in English, I'm like, oh wait a minute, what was that? What did I just say?
Yeah, you have to read along with it.
I'm glad I know the storyline, because otherwise I wouldn't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, that note is outside my hearing range.
Yeah, my dog just pissed on me though.
So is that the brown note?
So yeah, God, where do we go from here? How's that beer you're drinking, dude?
It's delicious.
Yep, beer, but music, metal. Yeah,
beer, music, metal. There. Walking corpse syndrome.
Walking corpse syndrome. Yeah. I've been there, done that. Definitely right. Have. Yep. I was caught in a video once.
You caught in the video of walking corpse syndrome?
Yeah.
Really? Which one was that?
I was the walking corpse, crawling, slithering on the ground, 3 a.m., okay. Religious experience, praying to the porcelain god. Yeah.
Oh, I could tell you stories. One time I decided to drink an entire liter of Jägermeister to myself. Not a good idea.
You deserved what you got out of that one.
Yeah. I was 20 years old. It seemed like a good idea. I don't know.
I think I was 17 and I decided to drink a whole bottle of Two Fingers Gold by myself one night.
Oof.
Yeah. Couldn't drink tequila for years after that.
I imagine. I just barely got back into tequila and I was still like, been about 7 years.
I can drink a margarita or maybe a really good shot of Patron once in a while.
Yeah, right.
I can handle that. It's got to be good tequila.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No Two Fingers for me.
I think we've all taken our extended tequila breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Everybody's had to. Everybody has. So I guess tell me what's it like, you know, playing the gigs, not so much just getting up on stage and playing the gigs. But the whole setup when you go and play a gig, I mean, there's the setup. We all kind of know what that is. We've all seen it and everything. You know, what's it like for being on the stage? What's it like for after you get off the stage? I mean, these are some high energy, very intense shows you're doing, you know, very high energy.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, you know how it goes. You rush into the venue. Hopefully you're there 2 hours early, but if you're not, then that's, you want to talk about a pain in the ass. Holy crap. Try loading in when everyone is like coming in and out, smoking cigarettes, and there's one door, you know, and you're trying to load these drum sets and everything. Ugh, nightmare. But I had to do that once or twice. Don't ever do that. But, you know, you go on stage and you play your show, you get everyone going and hyped up, and once the set is over, you have to like get your shit off stage as fast as possible. And unless you're the headliner, which I mean is also really cool, but it doesn't always work that way. And so you're trying to like load off there, and everyone's trying to tell you how good a job you're doing and all this and blah. And you're like, dude, I love you. Thank you. I cannot talk to you though right now. This drum set is in the way of the next band. And I've seen bands that like don't like take their stuff off stage right away, and it is annoying. If you're a band out there and you're listening, make sure you get your stuff off stage as fast as possible, then talk to your fans. But trying to do that, and you just, I don't know, it's intense and it's fun and you're sweaty and I love it, but you can't really, like, it's hard to like do, I guess. What was it? Sorry, what happened here? Hello?
Yep, we're still here.
Okay, I got like a weird yelly thing from my computer.
That's just things on your end going haywire.
Yeah, that's my fault. I thought it was you guys. My fault. This is Skype being angry at me.
It does that once in a while.
So it's a lot of fun, though. It's like you go out and you go and do your show, and everyone has a good time, and everyone just loves it. As long as you put on a good show and you take care of everything, like it's just fun. I mean, I really have never had a problem at any one of them. It's just raw freaking energy, and everyone gets kicked around and has a good time, and they come out and just loving it. And it's so much fun.
So I'm curious, at what point in time in your life did you say, I'm going to be a singer in a metal band?
Well, that would be, let's see here, way back in the day, I was, I found out, okay, so I don't know if you guys knew this about me, but I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere in north central Montana. Like, it doesn't really seem like I should be into metal, but I am because my dad was into metal, you know, 70s metal, Black Sabbath, Rolling Stones, if you want to call them metal. But I had this tape, and I would be driving tractor and stuff, and I would be singing along with, like, all these metal bands, like Black Sabbath and whatnot. And then I kind of got into more heavier stuff because I was a drummer back then, and I found out that, like, metal drumming is really hard to do. And they just keep pushing themselves, and I was like, and I kept doing it. I was like, well, I want to play this beat because I could play everything I heard, so I kept on doing it. And then I was like, wow, these guys are awesome, and I could sing everything they were singing. And then I got into more heavy bands, and I noticed I couldn't sing what they were singing. They were doing more growly vocal stuff, and I found out that if I pushed myself, I could do that. And so I found out, like, as I was driving a tractor, that I could sing metal, and I always wanted to do it, but I was really stuck to my drums. And then so I go to college. I come to Missoula after a couple of experiments in high school with different projects and bands and things, and had a good time and great times. But, you know, you live in the dorms. You can't bring your drums with you. And then you live in these, like, one-bedroom apartments where you can't bring your drums, but you can bring your voice with you everywhere. So after a while, this guy from high school came to Missoula, and he was like, hey, let's start a band. I said, okay, cool, do you mind if I try singing? And he was like, because I know this drummer guy, who he's a drummer and he could drum and I could sing, and I just want to try it out. I said, okay. And so that's when I found out that, like, with a PA, a loud PA and everything, and with a band, I was like, wow, this is kind of sounding pretty decent. Maybe I should pursue this a little bit more. And, well, things went awry with that whole project, and then but he did give my number to a different guy. I don't know if you guys ever heard of a band called Mageddon. They were around for a while, and I was a singer for them. I tried out, and they were really impressed, and I found out that I have a knack for being a frontman too, and I was like, wow, this is really all coming together. And I did that for a while, and then I got then that's when we played a bunch of shows with Walking Corpse Syndrome. And Walking Corpse Syndrome, after the Mageddon fell apart, Walking Corpse Syndrome said, hey, get on there. And that's when I found out that, like, being a frontman in a metal band it's all I want to do, like, for the rest of my life. Like, that is my calling. That's my job. That's my dream. That's what I want to do. And that's basically the whole story. But yeah, I'd say, like, I mean, that's a long answer. In short, probably around when I was 14.
You're not married, are you?
I was. I was. She took off about a year ago, almost to the day, I think. Like,
being frontman for a metal band and the vocalists and everything out there, that's really not conducive to a long-lasting relationship.
No. I found that out. Definitely found that out. Like, oh, hey, I'm going to be gone for about 2 weeks, Trey. Is that cool?
No. Yeah.
Bye.
And not to mention all the photographs, because you're the frontman for it. So every little girl out there, you know, is going to jump up there and want to get their picture taken with you. And
yeah, doesn't help things. But that's another part of being in a band. You know, it's like we all got girlfriends, and it's just like, you try to, like, explain it. It's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just fans. Like, we got to be nice to them. You know, we're going to take our pictures. And, you know, the jealousy thing does come up every once in a while. And it's just like, it doesn't mean anything. I promise. It's all cool, you know. But it's hard to convince girls of that sometimes.
Yeah, I had a label signing party for a band that we signed to my record label one time. And towards the end of the show, there were a bunch of really hot girls down by the front of the stage dancing and whatnot. And so I just, you know, pointed at about four or five of them, got them to come up on stage. So they're up there, you know, pole dancing with mic stands and stuff like that and whatnot during the last song of the show and whatnot. Guys' wives got fucking pissed.
Right?
And it was like, no, that was all me. The band had nothing to do with that. That was totally me. That was, yeah, you know, publicity, stunt, photo crap. Yeah, here we go. Chill out.
Yeah, it's a fine line, you know, like trying to keep everything, you know, you don't mean to. And especially the girl comes to the show, like she comes to the show and then she gets all kind of like, you know, has a couple beers and I don't like that girl. She's hanging around too much. Like, no, it's cool. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah. Not a problem.
Well, hey, speaking of shows and after the show and all that kind of stuff, we're getting close to that point. I need to do a quick rundown of our sponsors and everything here. So, yeah, you are listening to The Earthship, and tonight we've had Walking Corpse Syndrome on here with Leif, the lead singer. I'd like to thank Yellowstone Cellars and Winery for being one of the sponsors of the show here. Adventure Whitewater, they sponsored it all through the summer. Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery, if you need some inks, place to go. And Yellowstone, Yellowstone Brewery, Yellowstone Valley Brewing here in town. Too many Yellowstones all in one announcement here. Yeah, Yellowstone Valley Brewing. They keep us supplied in beer for the show. And, of course, this is a 10-Star Records production. Leif, appreciate you being on here. Give us a quick 30-second rundown of your next shows coming up here in Montana.
All right. Well, we're going to be playing in Missoula on October 3rd. That is, what, 2 days away? We're going to be doing that at the Dark Horse. And we're going to be playing November 9th in Billings with Decapitated at the Babcock. Cannot wait for that show. There's going to be one in Billings. Bozeman. I'm not exactly sure of the date for that one. It's at the Complex, but I will definitely make sure to send it out to everybody.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for being on the show with us, and thanks everybody for listening. This Earthship has landed. We're going to leave you off with a little bit of music by. I'm going to start out with Pushing to Gray, and have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for having me. Good enough.